Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He's called man of God. That's one of the greatest things that you can call someone. St. Paul calls Timothy man of God. He starts out this section by warning him, shun all this. What is this? If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were those around who were like that. They're described by us as Gnostics. They sought knowledge above faith. And the teaching which accords with godliness. He is puffed up with conceit. He knows nothing. He has a morbid craving for controversy and for disputes about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, base suspicions, and wrangling among men who are depraved in mind and bereft of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. There is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into this world, we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of the money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. And then he says, shun all this. Perhaps the worst thing they did is they wandered away from the faith, that which is the greatest gift of God to us, the faith, that which is all God's gifts wrapped up into one, delivered unto us, full, complete, the gift of faith. This is what makes him a man of God, so that he can aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, and go on and fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. When you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, as depicted in our window, the window of St. Timothy and St. Titus, that second one on the bottom there, at his ordination and at his baptism, this is when he made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. At the laying on of hands and the laying on of water, he made the good confession. He spoke what God had given him to speak. He spoke with God at that time in the presence of many witnesses. And it says in the next verse that Christ too made the good confession before Pilate. And so when we confess, we speak with Christ. We same say him. As we same say one another, we speak together the great word of faith. It was in this faith, then, that he is baptized and he is ordained. There the Holy Spirit comes to him because the word of God is there, as it says earlier, and he is a man under the word, the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you, then, he says, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, this commandment which his baptism and ordination have laid upon him, as it were. And so all of this comes down to the fact that he is called to faith. What they, the other party, the other people wanted was falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have missed the mark as regards the faith, Paul says. Faith versus knowledge? No. Faith is the great gift, then, of our Lord Jesus Christ, above knowledge. And yet there were those in the early church already who had placed knowledge above faith. How could they do such a thing? It is after that, all that kind of desiring, the craving that we have for all of these gifts other than the gift of God. You might summarize Timothy's life in this way. Paul's word to him, take heed to yourself and to your teaching, to yourself, because it's not in his own doing, it's in what he is and who he is. He is the man of God, made that through his baptism. And now, through his ordination as well, he has a role, he has an office to bear. And to your teaching, the teaching of the faith, they go together, the doctrine and the faith, Luther says, they're together. They are there, they identify the man of God. His faith, his teaching, identify who he is and what God has made him to be. Now to you also, we hear that today is the most depressing day of the year, an English psychologist says. You don't have to be in England, I guess, to know that. But here we are. We can now look forward to a day less depressing tomorrow. And it's going to get better every day, I guess. We too hear of, dare anyone ever call us man of God? Of course we can be men of God, people of God, children of God, because of our baptism. And in that, we too make the confession. Not only in our baptism, each day after baptism, we will confess that faith which is given to us, the faith of the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the healthy words. That is the doctrine that he has given us to confess. Now, Paul also puts that in another context. Aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfast, and gentleness. We never give confession of that faith without the love that goes with it. Otherwise, we become contentious. We become people who are not content. We're bothersome. We're wrangling. Among men, depraved mind, bereft of the truth, imagining godliness as a means of gain. And it is in that controversy, that disputing about words, and in that contentiousness that we undermine the very faith itself. And so you too, who look forward to ordination, the laying on of hands, the giving of the word of God, and with it the Spirit of God to you, these words speak to you as well, so that you might be called the man of God. Shunning all those things, of course you wouldn't be here if you were after the gain, as he describes it, would you? But nevertheless, the temptation will always be there. And so every day of our lives we are concerned that we shun those things, and yet that's not our doing. It's what God has made us to be. He has baptized us, he has called us to be his children. That's who we are, and that's the important thing here. And that will give us the gift to do that which is necessary for us to do, to keep the commandment, as it were, unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no wonder he ends with these words of great blessing and about God, the Sovereign, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. On this, the most depressing day of the year, we can say that with great joy and expectation of the great hope that is in us now, the hope of not only eternal life, but of that which is ours today, to be called men of God, children of God, because we have been baptized into that faith, that sound word of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the healthy words, the doctrine which we confess. We speak with him. That is our lives now. We are confessors. We speak with him, and therefore we give glory to him. And to all that we say, Amen, for our Lord has made us. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through true faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.